Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Hello again, and welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al. I'm a permanent deacon of the Peoria Diocese. And welcome to everyone, not just the Bloomington Normal area, but to Lincoln and to Pontiac and to all the areas that we're beginning to reach out to here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Invite all of you to be with us on Saturday and Sunday evenings as we open up the readings from the Mass to talk about how the gospel affects us in our lives today, especially in the lives of young people. And it's a tough time to be a young person. The gospel today talks about that, and we'll look and see how being young and being energetic, we'll just see. We'll talk about it in a minute. So I do want to say, if you have questions about your faith, we have a mailbox. We invite you to email us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and I'll be happy to answer your questions on the air as best I can. The ones I can't answer, I will make something up for, and we'll move along from there. But it'll be fine. A lot of good questions. I've got a couple good ones that came in that we'll talk about today that especially related to today's reading. We're going to skip over the first and second reading and go right to the gospel proclamation. It again comes from Mark, which we've been focusing on Mark this entire liturgical season. And a lot of good stuff in the gospel according to Mark. And this is an especially important lesson for all of us to listen to. Because it talks about a few really vital things in our relationship with God. So, this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, the young man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We've given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." Gospel of the Lord. So this is a really interesting gospel that has a lot of questions tied up into it that people ask all the time about their faith. To start with, this young man who comes up and seems like a really good guy, doesn't he? I mean, he's followed all the rules. He's obeyed all the commandments. And all he wants to do in his life is follow Jesus. And Jesus drops the big bombshell on him. He says, "You know, you've done really well. There's just one thing left to do. Give up everything you have. and follow me. The problem in this was that the young man had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of stuff. And it's hard giving up stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's hard. Think of all the things we have in our closets, in our drawers. We have clothes we probably haven't worn in a long time, and yet we cling to it. We have boxes. I know we still have boxes in our basement full of stuff that I haven't touched in a long time, that I still haven't gotten rid of. And maybe somebody else could actually use it. I mean, I've got record albums. Now, I might have a record player. Yeah, I do. I do. I do have one record player, but I've got hundreds of records from my youth and I don't play them. If I want to hear something, I can go online and I can tell the A lady, I won't say it because I'll say like Alexa or Amazon, and people's systems now listening to the show will click on all over living rooms and say, yeah, what do you want? If I want to hear something, I can just tell what in our house we call the A lady, play such and such a song or such and such comedy album, and it will play it. I don't need my records anymore. And yet I have 250 comedy albums. I can't get myself to let go of them. And Jesus is talking about not only that, but get rid of your home, get rid of your furniture, leave your family, saying, divest yourself of everything that distracts you from God, and then follow me. He knew this wasn't going to fly well, but yet he loved this young man. And this reading isn't saying that this young man is doomed. It doesn't say that because he can't follow Jesus physically, that he's not a good person anymore. Christ is just trying to explain to us the amount of sacrifice sometimes it takes for us to be able to follow Christ, that we let things in our lives hold us back. This young man who wants desperately to follow Jesus, to physically travel with him and learn from him and be taught by him and be around him, is held back because of his own egotism, his own personal greed. Listen to his words. I've done this. I believe that. I've done that for my youth. And yet, what doesn't he want to get rid of? His stuff. It's all about him. And he doesn't even realize that he's saying it, how self-focused he is in his own words. It's all about I. And Jesus wants it to be about him. Jesus invites us to be with him. And he says, you know what? It doesn't matter how much you give up, because you're going to gain so much more in return. You know, don't be afraid of what you have to sacrifice in order to be a good Christian. Christ gives us two commandments. Love God with all our hearts, all our minds, all our strength, all our spirit, and love our neighbors. That's his commandments, is to love. Look at the Ten Commandments. They all fall into one of those two categories. All of the Ten Commandments are either about loving God or loving your neighbor. If you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't murder. If you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't steal. If you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't covet from them. If you loved God, you would keep the Sabbath. If you loved God, you wouldn't worship money or fame or power. Those are the idols that the commandments warn us against, about loving other gods. They're not just saying about Thor or Zeus. That's not it. We know those gods don't exist. The gods in our life are wealth and fame and power. Those are the gods that the commandments warns us against. So if we love God, the one God, with all our soul and all our strength and all our heart, these other gods won't be able to latch onto us, won't be able to anchor themselves into our lives. So all the Ten Commandments break down into love God and love neighbor. So Jesus says to the young man, you've done pretty well, but you're keeping all this wealth for yourself. That's not loving your neighbor. Get rid of that. Give that to those in greater need. Then you're free to follow me. And God tells us that same thing. Be very careful about
Oh, I've got tennis shoes that are worth $400. You don't need shoes worth $400 to walk around. Okay? They're not what make you play basketball better or run better. That really comes from you, from the you God created, from the skill God gives you, from the strength God gives you. It's not from the cost of your tennis shoes. $400 tennis shoes don't make you run faster than $300 tennis shoes, do they? And I know that's just a small example, but it's the one that comes to mind. But we've been lied to for so long. And teenagers are especially open to this. And advertisers know it. You look at ratings. Ratings don't care about people like me. They really don't. People in my age group, we're not big on consumerism. So they're looking at young people. They're looking at people in their teenage years, in their early to mid-20s. Those are the people who buy. And those are the people who are trying, the advertisers try to convince you that if you use the right deodorant, women will flock around you. That's ridiculous. If you use the right shampoo, you'll be more beautiful. And of course, if you're more beautiful, well, that just opens up the whole world to you because beauty is everything. Really watch what advertisers are telling you in ads. It's really despicable that to think that buying a product can make you smarter or more attractive, more appealing, more popular. It's just not true. And those things aren't even important. When you die, and eventually you'll die, God doesn't care about the clothes that you chose to wear. He's not impressed. He's not impressed by the designer labels. He's not impressed by the shampoo you use. He's not impressed by how pretty you were. He's not impressed by how powerful you were, because you're not nearly as powerful as he is. He's not concerned about how famous you are, because he's more famous than you. You can't beat God in any of these categories. And trying to is just egotism, and that's sinful. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about all these extra trappings. All you need is me. All you need to worry about is me. Love your neighbor, love your God, and show it in the way you behave. Works won't get you into heaven, but works are the residue. They're the flower on the plant. I mean, it's not the bloom that makes the plant grow, but it's the growth that makes the plant bloom, right? So when you see a plant that's blooming, you know that the plant is nourished. Well, that's how our spiritual life is. We know that someone is spiritually nourished by the way they act, by the works that they do for others, by their charity, by their reverence. That's the bloom on our spiritual plant. I use a lot of plant. Like I said, I garden a lot, so a lot of my religious analogies are plant related. But I think that's cool, because where did that come from? That came from God. That's part of God's creation. I have a deacon friend who almost all of his religious metaphors come from fishing. Well, fishing's really popular in Scripture. And, you know, most of the apostles were fishermen, and a lot of good things happened. A lot of great lessons from Christ came using fish as an analogy. So it works. But planting and harvesting is also used a lot in Scripture. I also do woodworking. That's used a lot in Scripture. So these are all things that come from Christ. So why not use them? Even though they're today's world, they're rooted in God's creation. And so they're great ways to use analogies towards God. So if you're wondering, well, I'm always talking about plants and religion. I see that they're connected in a way that can't be ignored. So back to our gospel. A little more to say on this, but we need to pause for some words from some of the great people who are connected to our station, then we'll come back and talk more.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Join in this special rosary event. America needs Fatima, Public Square Rosary. This annual event will be held on Saturday, October 16th at 11:45 a.m. Over 20,000 prayer rallies will be happening across the country. Bring your family and friends of all ages. The location is across from Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington at the corner of Center and Chestnut. For details, check out anf.org or call Sandy at 309-662-1717.
Welcome back to Good News. We're talking about the Gospel according to Mark from this weekend's Mass readings. And it's the story of the young man who approaches Jesus and wants to follow him and says, look, I've followed all the rules. I've obeyed all the commandments. And Jesus says, that's great. One thing left to do. Get rid of all your belongings, sell them, give the money to the poor. Divest yourself of everything that separates you from me. Come follow me. And the young man can't do it. And he goes away dejected. He just can't get rid of the stuff. And we struggle every day to get rid of our stuff. And it's tough. It's nice having things to hold on to. But Jesus is saying that all we need to hold on to is him. That he brings us everything we need. We just need to trust in that. One of the other lines out of this gospel that people question a lot. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean, a camel passing through the eye of a needle? I don't know. A lot of people don't know. There's a lot of guesses. There's a lot of different versions to this story. And I don't know which is right, but the one that makes the most sense to me is there was a gate into Jerusalem that was called the Needle. And it was called the Needle because it was a security gate. It was very narrow, very small. It was made for one person to pass through at a time. And this was to keep out enemies and foreign forces. So in order to get through, if you had a camel, which would be carrying all your goods for the journey, and you'll see why this makes so much sense with this story, that what you would have to do is take the goods off of the camel, leave them outside, travel through the opening, drag the camel through without the goods, and enter into Jerusalem that way. Jesus is saying that to enter into heaven, don't expect to come in with all your stuff. Everything gets left outside. The money, the wealth, the fame, the power, the beauty, that gets left behind. That's the baggage. So it's easier to get into this small little gate with a camel loaded down with stuff than it is to get into heaven with all the stuff. Leave it behind. What's important is you and how you come through and what you bring within your own self. So that's the eye of the needle. It's a shortened version of it. The other one is at the very end where Peter says, we've given up everything to follow you. And you can almost hear the end of the sentence is, so what's in it for us? This is that the humanness of the apostles showing through again. You know, over the last few weeks, they've been arguing about who is the greatest among them and who's the leader and who's the most righteous. And now it even comes down to, well, here's what, you know, we've given up everything to follow you. What's in it for us? And Jesus tells them what's in it for them is a lot of problems. I mean, even though they've given up everything, now they're going to be persecuted. This abandonment
isn't meant to bring them great power and great wealth or great fame. It's meant to humble them, to prepare them for this, for a purification, this persecution, which is going to purify them and make them truly worthy of heaven. So it's going to be tough for you to give up the things that separate you from God. It's going to be very tough for you afterwards, because God isn't guaranteeing it's going to be a fun life. But what he's guaranteeing is that you will not be alone, that Christ is always with us, and that the more we divest ourselves of these distractions, the more clearly we can see Christ's presence. And that's where the joy is. And the joy is great. I mean, it's really wonderful. As you build a relationship with Christ, you learn that these other things really aren't needed. They truly are baggage. And what matters is love. Love for God, love for neighbor. What matters is your relationship with your spouse, with your brothers and sisters, with your parents, with the people in your neighborhood, with how you treat strangers. That's what counts. That's where the riches are. There's the story of a saint who was a deacon, and he was the treasurer for the Pope, and the Pope had been arrested by, I'm going to forget which king it was now, and was executed. And now they came after the deacon, and they told the deacon they ordered him, in order to save his life, to bring before the emperor the wealth of the church. So he went back to his office, and he emptied the treasuries of the church, gave all the riches that the church might have had, and gave it away to the poor. And then when it came time for him to bring the riches before the emperor, he brought the poor and the sick and the widowed, and he filled the courtyard with people. And he said to the emperor, "Here are the riches of the church." The people, that's, you are the riches of the church, of the body of Christ on earth. God loves you, and you are the evidence of his wealth. Not the stuff you own, not the money you have, not your fame, not any of that. It's the people that are important. If you want to grow in a relationship with Christ, make people more important than fame. Make people more important than wealth. Make people more important than power. Look at the wars that we've had in the world and what's caused them. It hasn't been religion. It hasn't been people looking out for what was best for their people in their country. It was people looking to amass wealth. It was people looking to add to realty. People who wanted more land, more geography. That's what's caused war. People trying to control other people have caused more sadness in the world than religion ever has. What God is telling us through the church is make people more important. And that's what Christ was telling our young man in the gospel today. The only thing you're missing is you've made stuff more important than people. Change that in your life and you will follow me. And Christ tells us that today. Make people your focus and you will follow Christ. And watch out for the distractions and be willing to let them go. And letting go is hard. But with Christ's help, you can do it. And that comes through prayer, which brings us back around to that relationship. It's all connected. We invite you to dig deeper into your faith and discover those connections and find out what's truly valuable in your life. And I think you'll be surprised. And it could change your life forever. Forever. In this world and in the next. Thank you for listening to Good News. It has been a real honor and a joy to spend time with you, and I hope we can do this again next weekend. Tell your friends about it. We're here on Catholic Spirit Radio every Saturday and Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, and you can also go to our website and listen to past programs on our podcasts. So until we meet again next weekend, may Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.